Right, continuing to talk drones on the Business Breakfast, we're now going to talk to a UAE company that has built some. It's formed a joint venture to create delivery drones for operation here in the UAE. Mohammed Jamani is the CEO of Enniverse Technologies. That's the mother company of this joint venture, Space Autonomous Drones. Mohammed, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks. Good morning, Malcolm, and good morning, Brandy.
Now, I understand that you've already built some of the delivery drones. Where are you at the moment?
All right, I would like to, I listened to the earlier interview. I would like to shed light a little bit about two things, about the regulations and the technology. So the government, people think the government don't want you to fly the drone. Actually, they would love to see you to fly the drone, more than 150 meter. But they know, the government, that the drones that are available in the market now, they don't fly more than 150. Before we go there, let's talk about the autonomous technology. So there are big difference between the drones you see in the market. We call it hobby drones, to take pictures and so on. Usually it's DJI, Phantom, 1, 2, 3, and so on and so forth. These are originally UAV drones, unmanned aerial vehicles. Yeah, these unmanned aerial vehicles, it has autonomy built in, inside it. All the drones has autonomy inside it. But the autonomous level is different. So ours is completely autonomous. I'll give you a small example. If you fly DJI Phantom drone and it go into a wall, it will hit it. Ours does not, because it's autonomous. So it's fly freely without your remote control, and it interact with objects around it. So if you fly it in Sheikh Zayed Road, actually, it would know that there is a building that's 50 meters away from you. And actually, if it comes closer to that building, our drone does change course without anyone changing it.
So what you're saying is it's a self-flying drone, as it were.
Autonomous drones.
Okay.
With for the regulations, a year ago, the autonomous cars were not regulated. Until Tesla came and educated the government what autonomous cars is all about, so it got regulated. So now the autonomous cars are regulated actually in the UAE. So our job now is to go to the government and introduce to them the autonomous drones. So they can change the regulations.
Let me just ask you about these autonomous drones. Is it autonomous and doesn't bump into things because there's a sensor in it which says, oh, there's a wall 10 feet away, 10 meters away, I can't fly into that? Or is it because it's using a map system that knows exactly where the buildings are and it's flying to avoid those?
So it's a mix of both, yeah? So the technology of autonomous drones is really progressing. At the moment, it's like have a sensors, just to know that the next generation, it will have a built-in map, because we know that these five drones is going to fly in Wasl or in Umm Qayyim and so on and so forth. So they will have a pre-programmed map to know what exactly surrounds it. The good thing about it, it's autonomous, so it's smart. So it's built its map by its own while driving. Yeah.
Okay. You've mentioned so much there. Let's drill down into some of it, yeah. Preferably without sort of mentioning or comparing to any of your competitors. You've built the first drones, but you don't yet have government approval. Is that the way around it has to go? Would you not get government approval and then build the drones?
Well, actually, let's put context on this, shed light on that. When we build the autonomous technology, if you don't build it and you go to the government and say, I want a license to fly autonomous drones, the first thing they will ask you about, can we see the drone? And we need to do an actual test. Second, they want to see the specifications. Now, the same autonomous drones has been tested with the Switzerland Post. Our drone was tested in Switzerland, and now it is flying in Switzerland for the Switzerland Post. So actually, it's like the egg and the chicken. Sorry. So we had to do it. And we'll be the first actually to go to the government and help them change the regulations. For example, now the regulations is limited to fly 150 meter only. Not because the government don't want you to fly more than 150, because the DJI drones existing now cannot fly more than 150 meter. So ours fly up to 70 miles.
What's the business model for this? Because these are effectively delivery drones. Are you going to own and operate them, or are you going to sell them?
No, we are not going to sell. So we're going to operate them. So we will be to put context in the discussion. We are the Uber of autonomous drones.
Your brief to us says that the sort of companies you see using your service, Emirates Post, Souq, DHL, Amazon, UPS, Aramex, Alibaba Group, some of these we know are actually planning their own drone services. What sort of time window do you think you've got to tie up these deals with the big players before they do it themselves or find alternatives?
Well, actually, we're talking to a few of them. I cannot disclose which ones. A serious talks.
This is something that you sent to us. So,
yeah.
But I mean, how big a time window do you think before they find somebody else to do it or do it themselves?
Not before end of 2018. So to be realistic, we will require at least a year to get all of the regulations on place, to get the autonomous drones regulated in the UAE. Autonomous drones, not just the hobby drone.
So
for example, another thing I need to shed light on. The normal drones that you see in Virgin for a few hundred dollars does not have frequency. What is a frequency? It's like a helicopter when it flies, it has a frequency. So let's say a helicopter fly near to the airport. The civil aviation would know which helicopter is this, what is the number, and it can talk to it. So ours has a frequency. So before we go to the civil aviation, we have to get a frequency number from the TRA. And that's a big difference between the autonomous drones and the normal drones. So if our drones fly next to the airport would actually speak to the drone because it has a frequency link with it.
This is geofencing.
Yeah. So that's a huge factor in getting the approvals and the...
What sort of altitude are you expecting to fly these around at? We heard this morning that there's a limit on the height that hobby drones, certainly all, I think all drones in the UAE can only fly up to 400 feet above sea level. So what are you going to be within that 400-foot range as well?
We're going to be around 700.
Have you got permission for that, or is that just what you want to do?
That's what we want from the government.
Yeah.
Actually, the government would they regulate based on the drones available in the market. So they go and see what the available drones. They know that the maximum limit of the existing drones is 400 to 500. So they put the regulations that it's 400 to 500.
But have you got people in the government who are saying to you, we'll give you 700 feet, show us the drone, and we'll tick it off?
Well, actually, the drone was showcased in the Media City on December event. So it was showcased in front of the Sheikh Mohammed himself.
So if you've got the drone, why haven't they given you approval yet?
Because we have not applied yet.
I see. Okay. When are you going to be doing that? Starting when?
As of today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit more about this business model. If you're going to own and operate them, are you going to lease them to, I don't know, e-commerce companies, the delivery companies? How is it actually going to work financially?
All right. So our business model is quite simple. So we rent out delivery or we rent out the drone itself. So let's say you are souq.com and you have a good amount of delivery that you would like to use. So you take up to five drones, for example, and they will be stationed in your premises. That's called the station, like a mini airport. If you don't have that, you can buy per delivery. And we will price it between 10 to 15 dirham per delivery. At the moment, the delivery in the bikes, it costs around 20 to 25. You imagine the cutting in the cost that you would do in the drones delivery.
Why have you decided not to just sell the drones?
Because we are not a drone manufacturer. We want to be a service provider.
Somebody sticks in and saying, how does your technology cope with temperatures of over 45 degrees and the high dust content here?
The drones can fly up to 50 degrees even, or 60 degrees, because they have cooler systems, small cooler systems, yeah? They are extremely smart. I mean, I can send you more and more details about it. Smart in the sense also, if the heat reached above 60 or 70, it will fly back to the station. So it does not require you to control it, fly back, because there is something. If it starts raining in a specific altitude, it will go back also. So it interacts actually with the environment around it. Yeah, so that's what really differentiates autonomous drones from the AUV commercial drones.
Right, lots of questions coming thick and fast when it comes to drones this morning. We're speaking to Mohammed Jamani, who's the CEO of Eniverse Technologies. Now, that is the mother company of a new joint venture called Space Autonomous Drones. It's been building self-driving drones that are going to be used, hopefully, eventually, here in the UAE. Delivery drones, so a little bit different from those that are already being used by commerces here and businesses and individuals. Mohammed, thanks for staying with us.
Thank you.
We've got a lot of questions being texted in. Malk and I have a lot as well, so let's get through them. These are delivery drones. Couple of questions about how the delivery works. One being that if I get a parcel or some documents dropped off to me at the moment, I sign for them to show that I've got them. How does that work with a drone?
All right, so our drones operate in two models. The first model, actually the box itself is attached to the drone. It's either automatically released. So if it comes to your station, we call it station, your house. If it is programmed to release the order, it will release and the drone will leave back. There's another option in which you enter a four-code digit number to your application that released it.
Okay, so yeah, a code instead of a password.
Just Explain the word release that you're using there. It sounds like it hovers over my house and
like
drops
a magnet.
It releases it and just drops it. I mean, I guess it comes down to ground level. It doesn't drop it from a great height.
How
does it know where I want it dropped so that somebody doesn't walk in and steal it from outside my house?
All right. So how it works, let's take, for example, souk.com as an example. And there's nothing going on with souk.com. It's just an example, yeah? It will not deliver to any customer. So you have to be a pre-registered customer to this specific service, yeah? Like Amazon in UK. So not everyone gets delivery with a drone in UK. It's only pre-registered customers. So when you register, you will have your house location. And the drone will decide where it will land in your house. So only to pre-registered customers, not to everyone. Until it becomes so advanced that it will become to everyone.
But I'm guessing that, you know, how do you know that, for instance, I want it in the front porch, to the left, behind the pillar? Is that possible?
That's the technology we built. It's too complex, honestly.
And does it work like that? I mean, can it be like that exact? So what I have to find out exactly the geolocation of that spot and send it to
you? The drone will know by its own. So when you register with your application, we will know where the drone should land and where it take off. And it goes back to the station.
I live on the second floor of a block of flats. I'm presuming it's not going to fly up the stairwell.
No. We hope at that one point, the architects and people who build buildings, to start consider drone balcony stations. Balcony for a drone, for each apartment. That's where the future will be.
Do you really think so in this weather? Leaving stuff outside on a shelf?
No, because you will decide what time it will. It's like when a delivery boy comes to your house, you will be there to take it, right?
No, not necessarily.
No.
We don't have maids.
I constantly have a battle on this.
Big problem for us. Big problem.
What about, Malcolm picked up there on the word release. What about the liability with the drones? If there is an actual accidental release, shall we say, something falls and gets broken, something falls on someone's head, who is liable? Is it you as the operator? Is it the person who has sort of commissioned the drone?
Insurance company. So we will have an insurance. We're talking to few companies. Not all of them really have a scheme for insuring drone delivery. So we're also talking now and helping insurance companies actually to have a product for drone insurance, and we'll be the first to buy this insurance policy.
So if you missed the first part of this interview, we are talking to Mohammed Jamani from Eniverse Technology and founders of Space Autonomous Drones, and they are looking to build commercial drones carrying up to about 5 kilometres of product to drop them at your house. But these are not small drones. These are not like the sort of ones that we see in Virgin as hobby drones or wherever else you might buy them around town. These are quite big things. How big are they, Mohammed?
Around 1.6 metres.
Well, that's about the size of the table that you're sitting in front of, which is pretty big. And they're presumably circular, are they, in size? So there's going to be quite a lot of manoeuvring to do between trees and my front door, porches and things like that to actually get in. How are you going to manage it? How do they manage it? Bump into things, because I mean, people have trees in gardens and everything else. How do they know not to get caught up in a tree, for instance?
Because the autonomous drones does react with the surroundings around it. So if it comes closer to a tree, actually it changes the course. It does not pop into the tree.
But I'm guessing that that probably adds quite a bit of time to each delivery, doesn't it? Trying to navigate things that it didn't know were there.
Well, most of the deliveries will reach under 30 minutes, 20 to 30 minutes maximum.
Yeah. How does weather factor into it? Kevin said, what about bad weather operations, dust storms, things like rain?
If any storm happened while the drone is flying, it will go back to its station automatically without the interference of anyone. So actually the drones really operate 100% without anyone to control it.
So what do you see as being the most common things carried by this? Obviously perishables are out, things that would be affected by the heat, such as makeup would be out. So what will they carry, do you think?
Actually, you'll be surprised to tell you, food. Pizzas.
Serious?
Yeah.
I mean, 5 kilograms of food isn't very much, is it?
Yeah, because it's just a daily delivery of a pizza. Pizza is no more than 2 kg.
Can you seriously run them for that cost and actually deliver a pizza and make money out of it?
It's actually cheaper than the traditional bike delivery.
Certainly cleaner in terms of emissions.
Much cheaper. You don't have SALIC, you don't have fuel, you don't have driver's cost, nothing.
How are you raising finance to put this all together?
Well, Eniverse Technologies is actually owned by myself, so the whole finance happened just entrepreneurially by myself.
This is all your own money, is it? This is all your own money.
That's my own money, yeah.
So Eniverse, but there's going to become a point when you want to expand, or where are you going to go, the banks, or how will you get extra money?
Well, actually, we're trying to self-fund it. I avoid going to investors and to the banks until really I need it, and because I would like to work with my own money.
Yeah.
So hopefully
don't
I won't
share,
go.
Don't share.
I hope I won't go, but if I had to, then I will go to venture capitals. But again, the venture VCs will be a bit feared because it's a new thing, and they will wait until I prove the concept.
Can you give us a ballpark figure of how much you have invested in this, Mohammed?
Around, until date, around $200,000.
I would have thought it would be and you've built several drones.
Yeah. So our partner, Skycart in San Francisco, are the people who are actually building the drones for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we've given them the technology requirements and the on-ground approvals requirements to build these drones accordingly.
$200,000, though, isn't an awful lot of money for a new technology venture, is it?
Well,
I mean, I know it's your money, so it probably feels like a lot of money, but I was expecting you to say that you know, sort of millions had gone into this.
No, because we are in the first phase of the project. But when we go into full operation, it will require millions and millions of dollars. Yeah. So
although we're getting a lot of texts in saying, how does this work? How does that work? What about this restriction, that restriction? You know, I think it's just because people like the project and they're curious. And Yusuf has texted in saying, I love your drone project, Mohammed, and I love future shaping people like you. Keep it up. Keep thinking out of the box.
Thank you.
So there are
your
supporters out there, as well as, and even the people that are being cautious or asking questions, it's because they want to know more, and because they're probably very supportive of the project as well. So I imagine you get a lot of goodwill everywhere you go with this project.
I would always listen to the people who give me negative feedback more than the positive, so I can work on them. And so I mean, people fear new things always, new technology always, even social media. I remember 10 years ago people fear to share social media information. Now it's become
become more regular, and you know how to deal with it. But what is that one most negative feedback that you get? What are people most curious or suspicious or nervous about?
I'll tell you the funniest one. Someone who told me, oh, the kids will start throwing stones on them to play. You know, that was funny because I told him, so why they don't throw stones on cars? They are in the streets.
I don't know. Maybe they think nobody will get hurt. That's
and the same questions that you raised, that will it hit my building if it comes? Where it will park, and where does it sleep? I mean, where
all
do you take
sort of thing,
it?
Yeah.
There's another information you should know about, that Dubai is building the drones airport. There will be an airport for drones. I don't have much information about it, but it's something I encourage you to cover it in other session.
Rather than having sort of drones dropping right outside, or say on a ledge outside my window, what about the idea that Amazon are doing? They have drop stations around in your local neighborhood, and it may be the post office, it may be a certain type of convenience store that can handle this, opens up a little business, so that you only have to drive 100 meters or walk 100 meters, whatever it may be, to try and collect the product rather than doing the house-to-house stuff.
Yeah, so for example, in the future, we're thinking to have a drop station in Sheikh Zayed Road.
Mm.
So you can walk a couple of 100 meters to go and get your delivery.
But one drop station, is you're going to lead them right across the city, to be honest with you.
For example, Sheikh Zayed Road will require at least 2 to 3 drop stations, or 4, 2 on each side. There's one piece of information to the use of these drones. So RTA would possibly use these drones, for example, to drop spare parts to the trains if it got a problem. Because now it takes up to 2 hours sometime to this spare part to reach the engineers. Yeah, so this is another use of this drone.
You, and for those who've just joined us, you don't yet have the government sign off for this. You're going to start applying for it.
No, not yet.
Almost immediately. But you have built the first couple of drones, so you've got something to show them. Do you have any concerns about getting government sign off? Is there anything that you're worried about, any areas that are tricky than others when it comes to getting the sign off? I mean, what are the bits that they are most concerned about?
If I don't live in Dubai, I would never gone into this venture. It's Dubai and the future look that Dubai always do make me very encouraged me to actually go into this venture. So Dubai will lead the way to put all of these regulations. So when we move to Saudi Arabia, which is our next station, we're going to have a case study for the Saudi's authorities to regulate it.
And what's the big goal for you? How big do you want your operation to get? How many drones are you looking to make and operate?
In 5 years, 100 drones. So my vision is that in 5 years to 10 years time, you just spoke about the traffic situation. I want you to talk about air situation. Yeah, so there's jam on this area, because the future is in the skies, not in the...
I think you're absolutely right, and we're hearing so many people saying that. I guess from an individual's point of view, we're concerned about either noise or about sort of general sky pollution, things flying over us. Are they watching us? It's you can understand why people are a little bit nervous about this.
Actually, we've had one text in from Simon asking how you're going to protect the drones from being hacked.
Again, anything can be hacked, but our system is so new, so until someone come and hacked it, it's going to be a bit of a few years. It's the autonomous drone system is so new. So there will be...
That doesn't sound like protection, though, the Hammer. That sounds like wait and see.
Well, yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of questions about this, a brand new industry, but we really thank you for coming on to talk about your business. Mohammed Jamani, CEO of Eniverse Technologies, also founder of Space Autonomous Drones. Thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Randy.
Thanks.